Happy Tuesday!
Good morning, everybody. It's the 13th of April and the 1st of IR.
Yes.
Ta-da!
You're so proud of yourself.
I'm pretty proud. There's a little bit of, well, in a good way. I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for pronunciations. You know, IR, ER. You know, how I can sometimes be pronounced E in Hebrew, but...
Yeah. It can be ER.
That's right.
It was just when you were saying it to me this morning, I thought you were talking about an actual ER. So... We just had a little...
Like an emergency room?
Yes. So I was like, today's the first day of the ER. And then I got what you were saying. So I, yes, ER is correct. It just was the context of...
We totally got there.
Yeah, we got there. Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yes.
We did great.
Finally, yeah.
So it's a beautiful week here in beautiful Bixby, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
USA.
Yes. Yeah, and hey, it's I just want to give a shout out to someone who had a monumental birthday yesterday, which is the wondrous Noble, who turned 18 yesterday.
18.
What in the actual world? How did that happen? But we're so happy for you.
Congratulations, Noble. Yeah, they grow up so fast.
They do.
Yeah. Sapphire had a birthday yesterday, too.
She did. Sapphire, happy birthday.
It's just crazy how... The days go by.
Yes.
And so we're still counting the Omer.
We are.
Yeah.
Day 16, 17.
Somewhere in that
vicinity. One of the vicinity. I should have, looked back in my journal.
Last week plus seven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So it's good. This is April. It's just amazing. It's nice to be in spring, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We have chilly mornings, and then we've had some lovely days. Over the weekend, we were almost hit 90 degrees here.
It was in the 80s, yeah. Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And, it's autumn in South Africa and Australia and Punta Arenas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going into they're cooling off.
Yeah.
We're warming up.
Yep.
It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
We need to warm up. Anything else? What else do we have? Do we have any announcements?
We're going to be doing was formerly known as Level 1.
Yes.
Training, but we've renamed it the Preface because it's all the things you just need to know for getting involved with Blue Flame.
Yep.
If you want to, dive in. So that'll be just for our local community, but through it, we're looking at how we could do that more extended, during this time when we aren't gathering as often or, with travel and all that. So, yeah.
So that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's May 8th.
So we're going to do the Preface,
mm-hmm.
formerly known as Level 1 Training,
mm-hmm.
for our local community. But then we're going to get to do it we're going to have something for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're not
It can be more virtual,
here,
yeah.
We're going to do something virtual. So yeah, we're building something.
Cahals that need to do training and all of that. So
it's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
I love it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to start this morning and we're going to talk about the bride. So this is Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So there's so much richness to that, and I think we're going to have quite a few moments coming up here over the next few minutes, weeks, months, where we're going to get to really pause and marinate, because I think Papa is giving us very rich words right now, speaking to us rich things. And the bride has made herself ready. I could spend a year on that, just the idea. that Papa trusts the bride because she is made of maturing sons and daughters of God who've chosen to be betrothed. And of course, who is the bride is not complete. And that's the crucial part, is that for the bride to make herself ready, there is a journey to go through that we are in process. So we're not done. In fact, one could argue we've only just begun, but we have many people to welcome in to the bride. And so we're making ourselves ready in our hearts, and that's been the threshing floor and heart work and the heart languages that we're learning so that we see each other's motivations. But and all the journey we've walked through in receiving the blood of the Lamb so that we can be transformed. But then there are many to come, and it's amazing. I know we've talked about this long time ago, 10 years ago, but just from Revelation chapter 7, verse 3 through 14, you've got the firstborn 144,000 that are sealed as servants, followed by a great multitude beyond count. I love that, beyond count. That makes me happy, because we know that is the Revelation 14:14 harvest that is an unknown number because it's all tied to choice, but it's massive, and we want it to be massive. And that great multitude came from the great tribulation or pressure, the thlipsis pressure or tsar pressure in Hebrew. And the great multitude was noted because they washed their robes clean by the blood of the Lamb. So all of this ties back to Revelation 12 and God releasing the keys to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus promised one day would be released in Matthew 16:19, and then Jesus released, described in John 20, verse 21 through 23, and then the prophecy that it would be given and that we would hurl down the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So now let's read Jesus. So here's our whopper, which is the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. So this is Jesus's prayer that, you we all know, we all love, but just want to really want to reread it in the context of the bride. So my prayer is not for them alone. So who is the them? That's his disciples that became apostles. So my prayer is not for the 12 alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So those that come from the 12, and that's all of us. That's 2,000 years of us. So Jesus prays for us who believe through the message of the 12, that all of them may be one. So here, again, this is one of those pause and just hang out for a long time, but that we may be one. So Jesus is praying for us. His prayer on earth and his intercession in heaven is that we may be one. And he says this, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So the picture Jesus is giving us is that Papa is in Jesus and Jesus is in Papa. And that kind of oneness is the oneness that he prays for us, that we too would have that same oneness. Deep breath. And may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So our first fruit is that the world may believe that Jesus came from Papa. Next sentence, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Mm-hmm. Another pause. We just hang out. See you in a year. Because in 1 year from now, we'll still be talking about Jesus has given us the glory that Papa gave him. And we can see that in so many ways. You know, that is the Holy Spirit of Christ within us. That is love. Peace be with you. Jesus breathed upon them. Mm-hmm. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Man. Mm. And what's the next thing he said? If you forgive any one of their sins, they are forgiven. It just wipes you out. So now we have the love of God, the power of God, and the authority of God through the glory that Jesus gave us. Why? That they may be one as we are one. So Jesus continues, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. It's just insane. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Mm-hmm. So there's a completion and there's a unity. So we have one and we have unity. This is crucial. We need to understand Jesus prayed that we may be one. Jesus prayed that we may be brought to complete unity. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the world, so this is fruit number two, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So the world believes because we are one.
Yeah.
But the world knows because we have been brought into complete unity. Mm-hmm. So the bride is making herself ready. The journey is not complete. We're still on the journey. What is our journey? It is being brought to complete unity. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I see this, that when the second fruit, you know, that Papa loves us just as Papa loved Jesus. So how did Papa love Jesus? Well, Papa described Jesus as, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, mm-hmm. right? Matthew 3:17. And that Jesus is actually describing that Papa would say of us, he is well pleased. Mm-hmm. Okay, this prayer was Jesus's proposal of marriage to us. Mm-hmm. So when were we proposed to? John 17. And everything that Jesus was saying was about oneness, right? So one flesh, Genesis 2:24 and Matthew 19, you know, verse 4 through 6. And the whole picture is about the groom and the bride becoming one. And so how does Jesus describe this? Is, I'm praying that they may become one in the same way that you and I are one. So Jesus and the Father being one, that's Genesis 2:24. Mm-hmm. And Jesus and the bride becoming one, that's Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6. And here we are in John 17. He's praying for that. He prayed for it on earth. He's praying for it in heaven. And look at the difference between I have given them the glory and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so all of this, we've had the glory all this time, but now we have the fullness of that. This generation is walking in the fullness. We are walking in the journey of a bride who is making herself ready. So now let's go back to Terraforming Bridges. So back in August, you and I, mm-hmm. We got the joy of talking about this word. So we went to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So here Jesus is mm-hmm. quoting, in essence, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, when he says, that we may become one just as God is one, right? Well, where is that? So Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. So this is the word Echad, which we talked about mm-hmm. in August. And that's Hebrew 72:59, made from Aleph, Chet, and Dalet. So that gave us the covenant, you may remember this, of a unified covering that can be entered. Like a covenant, right? So the parts, as we said, are made whole if they accept the marriage, the proposal of marriage. I mean, this is August, we're talking about this. Then God becomes the covering that unifies or bridges us. And of course, Jesus laid this out to us as an invitation. He and Papa are one in Echad, so we can become one as well. So let's get that picture, shall we? So this, we've done this many times, but we'll do it again. This is one of the first covenants Papa gave us 14 years ago. Psalm 133, verse 1. Mm-hmm. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So that word unity is yachad. So mm-hmm. you have echad, the Lord our God is one, and then you have the people living together. So now you've got the oneness of God, echad, and the people who, as Jesus said, would be brought together in complete unity. Mm-hmm. That's yachad, right? Mm-hmm. So we have echad and yachad. So yachad is the same word, it's just instead of aleph, it's yod. So you have yod, het, and dalet. And remember, this is where God commands the blessing in verse 3 of Psalm 133. So the covenant is completing the covering that can be entered. So Papa is completed. Jesus mm-hmm. is completed mm-hmm. by us. Mm-hmm. And not only by us, but when we become in or brought into completed unity. Mm-hmm. I'm about to freak out here.
Yeah, you can freak out.
Okay.
I don't mind.
I'm good. Okay. So the blueprint for how to become one that God gave us long ago is the fruit that is produced from daily bread portions of His will, His way, which is our inheritance. Mm-hmm. So how easy it is for us to walk the journey, living in and asking for daily bread portions of Papa's will, Papa's way, the fruit we will produce mm-hmm. from that daily, moment-by-moment journey is completed and complemented by the fruit that the other people, you and everyone else around the world, produces. Mm-hmm. And our fruit is designed by God like a jigsaw puzzle that fits together mm-hmm. into a completed picture, and we are brought into complete unity by our fruit. Mm-hmm. All right, still breathing.
Good.
Doing great. Okay, now I just want to notate the Apostle Paul's very long description of Christ as a body, and that's 1 Corinthians 12:12. And it's actually chapter 12, verse 12, verse 12 through 26. So it's very long. But it tells the story, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. Mm-hmm. So it is with Christ. Now, when we hear Christ, we think Jesus, but of course he's talking about the Spirit, right? Because the Spirit of Christ within us is our hope of glory. So, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. So now Paul is describing our differences. Mm-hmm. We all have differences. We may not look the same, but we're going to get a picture here in a minute. But before we can paint it, I got to just let Paul be Paul. So even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Thank you, Paul. I mean, thank you. Seriously, this mm-hmm. is crucial. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Let's say it together. Just as he wanted them to be. Is that not just the coolest thing ever? Is, you know, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Red and yellow, black and white. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways we're different. We have different genders. We're male. We're female. We have all these differences. And instead of seeing those as being a problem, seeing them as being designed just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Mm-hmm. Indispensable people. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
Yes.
Equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I mean, you know, and we've said this in our own, you know, paraphrased words. But, you know, if one of us is persecuted, we all are.
Mm-hmm.
If one of us is not free,
mm-hmm.
none of us are free.
Yeah.
None of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we talked about Aristotle. And Aristotle said, a whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And I just feel Papa calling us to see this picture. That each one of us has different parts and similar parts. And the similar parts is where he fits us together. We're going to call that our connecting points, or our points of connection, is our similarities. But our differences are what make us robust. It gives us greater functionality, just like a body. Everything that Paul just described. So look at this picture, right? We need to start celebrating our differences while looking for those connection points, because those are the things that make us whole in unity, our connection points. Of course, that is our fruit. But our choices can be that as well. So when we choose love, certainly that is our connection point. So for example, if I have compassion and someone else has compassion, we recognize each other through our compassion, mm-hmm. right? It's not because we wear the same brand clothing. It's because we both have compassion, and that's our connection point. And it doesn't matter if we have all these other differences, no matter what those differences are.
Mm-hmm.
It is when we express love, we are unified by it. But it is our differences that become the multiplier that makes our whole greater than even the sum of each of us put together.
Mm-hmm.
We're not greater without the differences, right? That's the multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we celebrate the differences, right?
Yeah.
And our potential comes from how we can be different and unified at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big hallelujah in this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All we have to do is stretch ourselves a little bit to not let religion define our similarities or our differences.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's love.
Yeah.
That's the sheep and the goats, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what connects us, is love. Okay. So in the Field app this morning, I open it up, and what is the image of the moment? And it is glory. Out of humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to take a while, but we can do this. Glory out of humiliation. So that is the picture of the tabernacle of the crowned lamb, right? And we finished the crowned lamb tabernacle yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're all going to freak out. So what does the crowned lamb tabernacle depict? It depicts the restored bride preparing herself for the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's associated with Nisan, right? So now that we're in IR, ta-da, we've just come out of Nisan, right? So the tabernacle we're just completing today is IR, or Shor. So it is time to receive, because we've just come out of that, right? Is to receive the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we just came out of. Receive the glory that we might have everything we need to make ourselves ready
mm-hmm.
to be the bride. We receive the glory. And what did Jesus say? I have given them the glory that you've given me. what tabernacle did we just come out of? Mm-hmm. Glory out of humiliation. Receive the glory. All things work together for good. We become one, a bride that is one.
Mm-hmm.
So God has now given us everything we need in the glory. And we just walked through that tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
So as we continue counting the Omer, as we walk through this new tabernacle, that we have the fullness of the building blocks, each of us, you know, we're going to restore, we're going to repair, we're going to rebuild the ancient ruins. And such a big piece of that is for each of us to look inside of ourselves and walk through this journey of love. And yeah, we get a choice in this of seeing the people around us, no matter what the differences are. Don't look at the differences as being a reason not to be together. I have a whole nother thing that's not for today, but mm-hmm. we'll get there.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. And it's all about how we try to divide ourselves. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave us such a, we're not to be divided.
Mm-hmm.
We're to see our similarities. What are our connection points? Love. And I think we will find from this picture, God is leading us now to make the bride ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's our call. Mm-hmm. And I just encourage everyone to choose it, live it, and be praying it as we are assessors for the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the world right
yeah.
now
yeah.
that we all can see our connection points. And that's what God wants us to focus on, and celebrate our differences, because that will be the multiplier that makes the whole of us mm-hmm. greater than the sum of our parts.
Yes. Yeah. I just feel like a pinball machine over here. I'm just ping, ping, ping. So I may not even look at my notes. Who knows? But I, you know, as we've been counting the Omer and just reckoning with what we haven't remembered, that's so much what the counting of the Omer is. It's to move us from a life of what we forgot, you know, and living our days to not forget things, to living remembered, to living in the memory of what he's done, of who he is, of why he wants to do it with us.
Mm.
And not just us, but all of us.
Yes.
All of us.
That's right.
And so one of my memories just the past few days was about Psalm 133 and how that came to be such a foundational little house to dwell in for us, you know, because words, you know, language is in Hebrew is so much about relationship, and those each letter and word has seed in it, and it builds like a little house for us to dwell in. So we don't read his word, we don't memorize his word, we dwell in his words mm-hmm. that he has said. So, you know, Psalm 133, we just had this crazy time where Papa was talking to us about the lottery.
That's right.
And I don't know that we ever were like, we're going to win the lottery, you know, the actual lottery, but we knew to pay attention. And so something was happening, like the amounts were just adding up in the pot or whatever, and it was at 133 million.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know, we just knew, you know, he was saying something really big to us right now. And we lived at Haven mm-hmm. at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I was cleaning our room and I was getting ready to vacuum, and I happened to notice coins on the floor by our bed. You know, it's a little unusual, so I pick them all up, and I just felt to add up how much it was, and it was $1.33.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling you and like, we just won the lottery. I don't know what it means, but it's 133. And you were off doing something that Papa had you doing related to it all. But in that moment, he led you to Psalm 133, and like, like we could have gotten $133 million and been less happy than getting Psalm 133 because it just, that the unity, and we just knew what we were called to, you know, part of our purpose. And it was just
incredible.
So, yeah, so incredible. So I just have been in the remembrance of that.
Just, I had too. Yeah. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then,
Yeah. And we, you know, and just in those days, the other thing I was remembering was how simplistically we allowed him to speak to us. Like, we didn't need lightning strikes. We like, that was it. Like, that was daily. And it still is. And I treasure the simplicity with which he speaks to us, so that we know that days have treasure in them. We know that each day has things sewn in for us to discover. So we live remembering. We live in remembrance of him, not about what we forgot to do in a day. And so I've just so delighted in this counting of the Omer. This particular one has just been lovely in every way.
Yes.
When you were talking about Deuteronomy and the Shema, and that's that prayer that the Hebrew people say every morning, and for generations and generations, that's what they say about their God being one, and remembering we're in his image, we're like him. We're with us for worship on Tuesday. We're just like him.
Yes.
And which means we already have it within us to be one. Mm. And when that prayer is said, when that scripture from Deuteronomy is spoken out, when breath is given to it, that's the declaration. It isn't just, it's a good thing our God is one. It's, I'm in his image, so I'm able to be one too. And so, like, we're just purposed for that from our very being, to be one. It's why we want to be connected. And one of the things with that prayer and that declaration is it also is a place where they remember the beauty of breath. And so there's, and talked about this in Coming to Our Senses,
whatever book that's in.
But about breath and this design of breath, the inhale and the exhale. So that particular prayer, that particular declaration from Deuteronomy reminds us of the inhale and the exhale and the covenant of that, which is connectedness, because the covenant of breath is joy. And one of the words for joy in Hebrew is simcha. And I never usually say it exactly right, but it means, it's a word for joy, but it's about the joy that comes from being connected to him. And how multiplied is that joy when we are connected to him together? Just so, so good.
Yes.
And I feel like Elohim, like, and all of heaven and all the hosts are very just expectant of this season right now, and what we're walking towards, and pulling for us as we take each step, as we inhale, as we exhale. There's just this expectancy in the atmosphere, and it doesn't mean there aren't other things in the atmosphere that seem counter to that, but it means that's our choice of atmosphere, is heaven's expectancy right now. And so we have come into, and you can say ER, we just had a little, like, it was like when you have forgotten a word, we were just talking about this with the Blue Army, you've forgotten a word and then you remember it, like when we're all settled in for the night, and
you're talking about me.
You, yes. And then you remember the word you forgot like 5 hours before, and you sit up and shout it, and I'm like, wow. And so that was, we were all in silence, and then all of a sudden you're like, you said it and it just sounded totally different. So you can say ER. Just in that moment I was confused. So,
right.
Sorry. So we have come in you know, from an incredible time into an incredible time. And he's just bringing it so together for us. So IR, ER, if I was to nutshell it, I would say he is our passage. So it isn't just about having passage or getting passage, gaining passage. It's that he is our passage. He is the one. And remembering that passage, it's all about us going together. It is all about us going together, coming together for a unified purpose, him, in order to go farther. And we go together. So with the counting of the Omer within ER, it is that reckoning with what we haven't remembered. Manna fell during this time, and manna's meaning is, what is it? And the whole idea that it tasted different, it tasted uniquely to each person based on how they saw him, how they were experiencing him, what they felt about him. I love this. So the system, the body system, which is the song, that part of the orchestra within us that's contributing to the song, the asterism within us, the identification of whose we are within us, that system for this month is the circulatory system. And it's just the coolest thing ever because it's the transportation of blood, oxygen, and nutrients throughout the body. It's a wholeness. It affects the entire body, and you eliminate waste with this system as well. So there's just, he couldn't be speaking more about our oneness right now. This is just so, in relation to all that you shared. So the tabernacle of this month is the governor. And so there's a star within the governor, which is Heka. It's H-E-K-A. And it means the coming. But that particular word is found in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, which we've talked about before, and I'm just as excited about it today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And then this is just it. For the glory of the Lord arises upon you.
Yep.
Not the glory of the Lord rises. The glory of the Lord comes. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness may cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises on you, on his people, on us. And then it follows up with, the nations will come to your light. Not his light. This light has now been passed to us because we're his imagination. Like, this is, we're his image, and so all he's imagined can happen now because it's risen on us. The light is in us. The glory is upon us, and the nations can come. Oh,
amen.
So we are in this passage place right now between Pesach and Shavuot. The counting of the Omer is about this passage. The place between Pesach to Shavuot, it's a continuum. It's a continuation towards a completion. And so Shavuot, which we're moving towards, is a culmination of the experience of redemption. You know, so it brings this completeness to Passover. And there's just so, so much to it. The people were set free at Passover. But it wasn't until Shavuot, it wasn't until Sinai, and then until Shavuot, when they understood what it meant to be free. Mm. And there's a difference. There's a difference. So I'm going to touch on various things. But, you know, in slavery in Egypt, they were in this very tight place. And with the Exodus, they came into a big land. You know, they came into a wide open space. So listen to this. This is Psalm 118:5. I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. So Psalm 118 is one of the Hallels. So Psalm 113 through 118 are the Hallels. So they're generally sung, recited at the different feasts. But the thing I love so much about the Hallels is that Jesus sang them. Mm-hmm. And I know this was in Terraforming Song. I can easily get what book that was in.
Yeah.
But it talked about this in Terraforming Song. But Jesus sang these at the Last Supper. He sang these at that communion meal with his disciples. And so he sang these words, I have called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. He sang these words right before he went to the cross. And I just can't even.
Yeah.
He sang them right before he went to the cross. And Papa gave him the world. Gave him the world. He went into this wide open space. The next words were, with Adonai on my side, I fear nothing. What can human beings do to me? He's about to be crucified. What can human beings do to me? With Adonai on my side as my help, I will look upon my enemies in triumph. It's too good. So with this place of coming from captivity to freedom, what is freedom? Why have we been freed? That's what Shavuot truly teaches us. That's a great purpose of why we observe it, why we celebrate it. Why have we been set free? Why would he want us not to simply escape a situation, but be set free? Find the fullness of freedom. So there's different things that he has said to us. We're set free to become his treasured people. A light to the nations, which is described in Isaiah 60. Ambassadors for heaven's voice. These are definitions of the redeemed or the set free. His treasured people, a light to the nations, ambassadors for heaven's voice. So one of the experiences of Shavuot was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the people. So the disciples, he had breathed, they had received the Holy Spirit. And now at what is, you know, also called Pentecost, the people have come together. This is in Acts 1, and this outpouring has happened, and it's the drawing together of the redeemed to understand why they're free, why they've been set free, and they're given the presence of the Comforter, the presence of the Spirit, and that they would be comforted from all they've walked through, but then to have help to live sanctified lives. So I know what you've been through, and here's what we're going to do now. So they had comfort for all that had happened, all that had looked different, all of those things. There was comfort for that. We have that same comforter. There are things that look different than we thought, and we have the comfort for that. We have the comforter that comes to us and then encourages us towards the life we're going to live now. And I love this so much. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive the power to be my witnesses. Why are we set free? To witness. To go out and tell people what we've experienced. What he's done. Who he's been to us. To each of us. And if we're each sharing those stories, who's going to be able to resist that? Nobody. So you'll receive power So the Holy Spirit's coming, giving power that you will be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Mm.
What does uttermost mean? You're going to like it. Unto completeness.
Wow.
The greatest degree, the extremity of limit or extent, the completion of. That there would be completion of redemption all over the world. So something I really recognized as I was just exploring this is so much of the invitation of the Israelites when they left Egypt. They had a choice that was before them that really was laid on the table at the Feast of Shavuot for them at the base of Sinai. They had these invitations to live as former slaves or to live completely free. And that's a choice we all have. Do we still live enslaved to things that happened to us in the past? Or are we living presently redeemed in the fullness of freedom? So I want to talk a little bit more about freedom. So just something in that Hallel that Jesus sang, that we sing at the feast, that we get to celebrate at the feast, about being moved to a larger place. So the restricted place, that word is kabah, Q-A-B-A-H, and it means something tight. When you're in distress, like your chest feels tight, you feel like this, almost this no way out. And then Rahav is the large place, and it's R-A-C-H-A-V, a large place where you can breathe. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Where you can inhale, exhale. And what is the other purpose that we talk about with the inhale and exhale? It's worship. I'm going to come more to that. So just think about this for a second. In ancient times, the people lived and slept in one room of their house. They didn't have bedrooms. They didn't have, you know, everybody didn't have their own room. And in some families, entire families, meaning aunts, uncles, cousins, all lived together. So they all slept there in one room. And it was very crowded, and it was, I would think it was uncomfortable. But there was, you couldn't stretch out. You couldn't get that deep breath. And so when you would get up for the day, it wasn't that you wanted to be separate from these people. They just wanted to be able to have this inhale, this stretch, this open space. And they knew that open space was where he was. And that was part of this psalm. So freedom, what does that word mean? So a root word for freedom is herut, which is H-E-R-U-T, and it means ministers. Those who have acquired power and use it for others. That's freedom. That is how freedom is defined. So this word was used in Exodus at Sinai when the love letter was being inscribed on the tablets. And that word is also Haru, but it's H-A-R-U-T. So what was written on the tablets was the words of freedom. The directions for freedom, however you want to say it. And then what was received from the Torah, from what was given there, that release of the Torah was the freedom to minister. You've just been given this supernatural strategy. You know, Moses on the mountain, he was given this supernatural strategy, and that strategy was love. And so he was able to carry those tablets, giant tablets, in his hand, singular. So who knows how much those weighed, because it was supernatural. And it was meant to be inscribed upon him and inscribed on the people's hearts. And it was. But that supernatural strategy gave them the power to minister to others. The power, freedom, is the ability to minister. Those who are free are those who have acquired power and use it for others, have received love and are able to give it. That is freedom. It also, as described in Isaiah 61:1, and then again when Jesus recited it in Luke, it's a spontaneity of flow, liberty, release of the captives. They're able to move. And even deeper, they're able to be moved. They're not just escaping a prison cell. They're not just escaping a confinement. They are actually becoming free. So it's this choice to be a volunteer to God. It's the choice to not forget that we're not independent. Our soul is bound for life to Him. And it's a choice that we make. So after the Exodus, the people still spoke as slaves. They still spoke as if they were in slavery. But at Shavuot, at Sinai, the first Shavuot, they received a new narrative. In Acts, at Pentecost, they received a new language. They no longer had to speak as though they were slaves. They no longer had to speak, let me say that better, they no longer needed to speak as if they were still enslaved.
Right.
Right? They were given a new language. We were given a new language. And that's the beauty and I would say the power of the feast, and why we have chosen to observe them, is there are seasons where you remember if anyone is a slave, you've been a slave. If anyone is not free, you're not fully free. And so we're on this journey to freedom because everyone's not free. But we have to understand what the fullness of freedom is to be able to free anybody else. And so that's part of our memento from Winter Tea, the staff. It reminds us everything we've been part of. And when we sit at the table at the feasts, we remember all that we've been part of, all that's our history, but it's our history to the context and content that we were there. And that's what the staff reminds us of. We were at the base of Mount Sinai, and we were in the upper room. You know, we've been at both of those Shavuots because we have the capacity to stay at the bottom of the mountain instead of going up. We have the capacity to remain confused instead of being brought together by the Spirit and becoming one. And so we remember that could be us because it has been us. At the same time, we receive the fullness of what He does. And so we have a new language. We have a new narrative. And that's what we celebrate at Shavuot. We get to look in these days, what have we been captive to? And do we daily escape it? Or are we now free? Are we now free? Because Passover talks about where we were. Shavuot talks about where we're going, what we're moving towards. And so escape and free is different. Shavuot speaks to us about the purpose of our exodus. Why were we released? Why were we set free? Well, for the fullness of freedom. So here's just the coolest thing ever about the fullness of freedom. So there's a word, and it's A-R-A-U-T. So it's A-H-R-A-Y-U-T. And so within it is the root word for freedom, which we've already talked about, that harut. So it's got the root word of freedom in it. And what this word means is the responsibility of freedom, or the fullness of freedom. What is that? Partnership with the divine. Partnership with Him. recognizing His image in you so we can fulfill His imagination. It's part of freedom. And then to protect your brothers. So this word becomes awe. It's just the A-H. It's the remembrance that we are all siblings from His womb. We all came from His womb. Not one of us came from a different womb. Not one of us. We all came from Elohim's womb. And it's the remembrance of that and protecting your brothers. They're all your brothers.
That's right.
And then it's to protect the stranger, which is A-H-E-R, and it means those that will come after me. And then it means to bring the world to the fullness of redemption. So what does the word protect mean here? It means to watch over, to secure, to keep. Doesn't mean to get in a big fight. It means to watch over, to secure, to keep. And here's what we're watching for each other. Our brothers, and that word A-H-E-R, a hair, means others. So brothers and others. Okay. Means to watch for the good news in their life. That's what we're watching for. We're not watching for the mistakes and the missteps. We're watching for the good news to come to their life. And we're bringing it to each other. And it isn't like, I have the good news, so I never need it. I need the good news, like, to be brought to me. And I need to give it to somebody else. So we're watching for the good news to come to each other's life. We're not watching. We're not protecting to keep from something. But we're watching to see all that Papa intends to come into each other's lives. And yes, sometimes that means saying, oh, that's not the road you've talked to me about that He has for you. And speaking that truth, that is a way that we watch, you know, so that we walk towards, always towards Shavuot, always towards the purpose of our Exodus. So the Exodus, you know, Pesach and Shavuot complete each other, and they're two very defining narratives in our story. And Exodus reveals to us how we've been shaped by our past experiences. Shavuot encourages us towards that we haven't experienced yet, for the all things new, the things that He's making new. Exodus is like the absence of restraint, but then Shavuot comes and reveals the fulfillment of our purpose, what we were freed for. And in the times of in scripture where there was slavery, when a slave was set free, and this didn't happen in the Exodus because the Pharaoh was not giving them all these pieces of paper, but it happened at Shavuot. They were given this at Shavuot, and it's called the Shirur. Nowhere near. S-H-I-H-R-U-R. And it was like their Bill of Rights. And what this document stated was, you're now free to choose. So Shavuot is the remembrance that we're free to choose. That choice has been given to us. And we were given it from the beginning, from the garden, from creation, when He breathed into, because we were all breathed into with Adam. You know, part of our story, when we were breathed into, we were given choice. When we become captive to something, that's really what we lose, is our ability to choose. We can no longer choose. So every time we come to that base of the mountain and we choose to go up, every time we receive something that will unify us, that will actually stop us from being divided, we're restored to choice over and over again, and we celebrate that. We're given this new language at Shavuot. We celebrate that. We're given the ability at Sinai. we were given His Word. His Word was given in a wider form than it ever had been. It was released to the people. At Shavuot, we were given the ability to express it, to express who He really is. And these are all things that can't be taken away. They can't be taken away. And that's true freedom when you know what you've been given can be taken away. If you're given something material, it can be taken away. It, for sure, it can. But His Word, His Spirit, the ability to express it, the ability to unify, that can't be taken away. Mm. We now have the freedom to choose. At Shavuot, we were given the full ability to express humanity and what humanity means to Him, why He would work through humanity, why He would do what He does through humanity. It's why He came in the flesh. I will do this through humanity. I will do this through you. And it unifies us to Papa, connects us to Papa, to each other, and to the world. And I just wanted to share this. Emancipation means the signified end of division. That's what Shavuot brought. Because for the Jews, when they came through the Exodus, they were no longer separated from society. When we come to Shavuot, we're now, there's the end of division. And remembering Shavuot, you wave the two loaves of bread. And it's all about what has been apart being brought together. And oh, that was a whole bunch of things, but so exciting. And I just feel heaven so excited for all of us right now to come together and to realize we're already imaged to do so. The image of unity is in us already. That's Deuteronomy. That's that scripture. That's that Ahad becoming one. We're already imaged, and He's just imagining it right now. Like, all of heaven's imagination right now is about us coming together, because nothing will be left out when that happens. It's everything you shared. All those descriptions of freedom were social justice. It was about caring for each other. It was about going and getting each other. And there will be nobody that is missed when we're one.
So it's just so profound to see how Papa built into the revelation of the sons and daughters of God everything that we needed and a complete freedom and a complete unity and choice restored, because choice has been taken. And I think what we're all going to be awakened to, among other things, is the fact that we have been oppressed, all of us, and that our choice has been held hostage for so long. And this all was built in. This is all built in to the revelation of the sons and daughters of God, so that the bride can be made ready, so that the bride can be revealed, so that everyone can choose to be in the bride.
Yeah.
And to actually know what an offering that is from God.
Yeah.
To become one.
Yeah.
To become one?
Mm-hmm.
One?
Yeah.
Not humanity's version of one, God's version of one, which means indistinguishable.
Yeah.
One.
From the inmost part to the uttermost parts.
One.
One. Yeah. I love this in Psalm 118, also in Jesus saying every one of these words before the cross. And so, it's got portions. So the first portion is this call to worship. It's what the priests did. They always called for worship. And then verses 5 through 21, it's like this section of personal praise, like, I just have to praise you. And then you get to verses 23 and 24, and it's about coming together to praise Him together. And then it culminates in verses 25 through 29. And it's called the commitment to worship, which is an expression, we won't stop worshiping together. Like, we will be one. We will be one. And he declared that. He declared that over us before the cross. We get to declare it at every feast. And yeah. And choosing, you know, the choice of Shavuot really is, where are we going to dwell now? Are we going to be in a tabernacle, or are we going to be in things we built for ourselves that enslave us? What we build for ourselves can only enslave us. And he wants to captivate us, you know, and he's so beautiful. How could he not, you know? But he will not, cannot, if we're trapped in our own exiles with the things that we built for ourselves. And, you know, I'm just coming to understand more and more the purpose is to be his witness. The purpose is to live the gospel, and all the other things follow. But I've just been looking in this counting of the Omer and in this journey to Shavuot, where am I dwelling? You know, and I shared this with you yesterday. I woke up at 4:27, and, you know, the 4 a.m. is not the time frame I get excited about. You're all up and in the tallit, and I'm figuring out how deep I need to snuggle down to get back to sleep. But I didn't go back to sleep, and because I've noticed how simplistically he speaks and reminds and says, you're going to live remembered, not try to figure out what you forgot. And so 4:27 is my birthday. And so he's always spoken to me through Psalm 27:4, because we just go Hebrew on it and read it the other way. But it was just a remembrance to me, and I hope for everybody else, where am I dwelling? And I, you know, in that moment, I was dwelling in some thoughts that weren't mine, you know, didn't really belong to me. And so Psalm 27:4 is, just one thing have I asked of Adonai, only this will I seek, to live in the house of Adonai all the days of my life, to see the beauty of Adonai and visit in his temple. And so we all have word houses like that, just houses of his word he's built for us. That's what Shavuot reminds us of, how his word is a place that we can dwell. And Jesus is the word, you know, and that we have a dwelling place, and it's not all these places we go. It's not all the places our thoughts can take us, or our opinions can take us, our moods can take us. These are houses built for us to live in, to dwell in, to never leave, because it's where he is in our life. And it's promises he's made to us. I will always give you a place to dwell. I'll always give you home.
Amen.
Yay.
All right. Well, that's a powerful week we have of prayer.
Yes. Get the cracking.
Thank you, Papa.
Well, we love you. Enjoy your tea, no matter what time of day you have it.
Yes.
We've had ours this morning, and we hope we've given you a feast to go with your tea today for these days.
Yes. And we love you.
Bye.